Chapter 29, Part 1. Arjuna defeats the Nivata Kavachas. Although offered every kind of enjoyable thing by their celestial hosts on Gandhamadana Mountain, the Pandavas thought only of Arjuna. They could not wait to see him again, and the days passed slowly, as they expected his return at any moment. The Yakshas brought Daumya and Draupadi to the mountain summit so that they could be with the Pandavas and be ready to greet Arjuna when he arrived. On the seventh day after the battle, the Pandavas saw in the sky the brilliant chariot of Indra approaching to the mountain, resembling a meteor emerging from the clouds. Upon it they saw Arjuna, seated like Indra himself. He was wearing glowing silk robes and was adorned with celestial ornaments and garlands. Also, there was a brilliantly jeweled coronet upon his head. The Pandavas stood to receive him. They all felt great happiness as the chariot slowly descended. That chariot was drawn by 10,000 steeds. As it reached the ground, Arjuna got down and bowed at Daumya's feet. Then he bowed at Yudhishthir and Bhima's feet. The twins then bowed to Arjuna, and Arjuna greeted Draupadi with gentle words. He handed her a number of celestial gems of sun-like splendor, which Indra had given to him. Yudhishthir also greeted and worshipped Matali, as if he were Indra himself. He inquired from Matali about the demigod's welfare. That chariot driver of Indra spoke affectionately to the Bhante, just as a father might speak to his sons. Then Matali ascended the chariot and returned to Amaravati, the capital city of Indra. Arjuna sat amid his brothers while they asked him to tell about all his adventures. Arjuna narrated everything he had experienced, beginning from his first meeting with Indra in the form of a Brahmana up to his departure from the kingdom of heaven. Arjuna told them that after he had received his training from Indra, he had to offer his father Dakshina. Indra had said to Arjuna, "There is nothing in the three worlds which you cannot now achieve. You are master of all the divine weapons, and there is no equal to you in warfare. I desire that you destroy my enemies, the Nivata Kavachas, who are a race of fierce Danavas and who dwell in the womb of the ocean in great forts. By killing these demons, you will fully gratify me, O Arjuna, and you will repay your debt to me." Indra then allowed Arjuna to use his own chariot and gave him a suit of impenetrable armor. Indra had also placed upon his head the coronet. That coronet said, "Be victorious." Blessed by the celestials, Arjuna then set out on Indra's chariot. And as he was leaving, the demigods presented him with a conchal called Devadatta. That conchal's sound could disperse any foe. Matali drove the chariot, and they soon approached the ocean. Arjuna described the ocean to his brothers. That dreadful and inexhaustible waters were covered by swelling waves that dashed against each other, appearing like moving hills. I saw ships full of gems sailing the sea, as well as whales, timinglas, serpents, and other fierce aquatics. Through the waters I could see submerged shells and heaps of precious stones. They appeared like stars on a night covered with light clouds. Arjuna described how Matali had steered the mystical chariot, which could travel anywhere in the three worlds, through the ocean towards the city of the Danavas. As it entered the nether regions and approached the city, it made the whole region resound with fearful clatter of its wheels. Hearing the thunderous sound, the Danavas considered that Indra himself must be approaching to do battle with them. They closed the city gates and manned the ramparts. I saw thousands of demons standing with bows, swords, javelins, axes, maces, and clubs. Their hearts filled with fear, limbs trembling. Taking out the Devadatta, I let out many mighty blasts, which made all creatures hide in fear. The Nivata Kavachas then poured out of their city by the tens of thousands. They were clad in shining armor, and they clutched maces, spears, clubs, sabers, hatchets, rockets, guns, and swords ornamented with gold and jewels. Matali maneuvered the chariot skillfully and baffled the demons' advances. Indeed, he moved the chariot so swiftly that I could perceive nothing at all. My enemies sounded their strange musical instruments, creating a discordant blare that filled the battlefield and stupefied the minds of all beings. As the Danavas rushed at me, releasing hundreds and thousands of arrows, I saw in the sky rishis who had come to witness the fight. They eulogized me with select Vedic prayers, thus inspiring me. I was surrounded and enveloped by sheets of fierce-looking shafts, but I was able to counter the demons' arrows and the downpour of spears, maces, and clubs. The chariot moved with the speed of the wind. Freed from their assault, I counterattacked the Danavas. With straight coursing arrows, I drove them back, piercing each demon with a number of deadly shafts. At the same time, Matali urged my 10,000 steeds toward the enemy and trampled vast numbers of them. He drove the chariot with such dexterity that it seemed as if it was being drawn by only one horse. Firing my arrows with unmistaken accuracy, I cut off the outstretched arms of the demons, which fell to the ground while still clutching their weapons. Their helmeted heads rolled on the earth like so many ripe fruits shaken from the trees. The Danavas came at me in wave after wave. I charged my arrows with the Brahma mantras and cut them down as they rushed upon me. But so great was their number that I became sorely oppressed on all sides. I then took up Indra's weapon, the mighty thunderbolt, and hurled it against the demons. It threw them away from the chariot and smashed all their weapons to pieces. I quickly followed this move by shooting 10 arrows at each of my assailants. seeing shafts leaving my bow like rows of black bees, Matali praised me. The arrows, inspired by mantras, drove back the enemy and mangled the soldiers. Blood was flowing like rivulets during the rainy season, and the infuriated demons then began to fight me by using their illusions. Instantly, the Danavas vanished, and rocks showered down from the sky. Aiming upward and whirling quickly about, I checked the rocks with crescent-headed arrows, smashing them to pieces. Then the demons sent down torrents of rain, accompanied by fierce winds. The whole area was flooded, and no difference could be perceived between earth and sky. There seemed to be an endless sheet of water covering everything. Struggling to keep my mind controlled, I invoked the flaming Visoshana weapon, which Indra had also given me. It immediately dried up the waters, and the air was filled with a massive column of steam. I could hear the demons' terrible shouts, although they remained invisible. They sent tongues of fire at me and a screaming hurricane. I countered the fire with a celestial water weapon and stopped the wind with a mountain weapon. Then they caused a fearful darkness so that I could see neither Matali nor my own hands wielding the bow. A shower of iron clubs fell from above, and the Danavas let out horrible screams on all sides. The war horses drew back, and Matali dropped his whip and cried out, "Where are you, Arjuna? What has happened?" Both of us were struck with wonder. Matali then said, "O sinless Arjuna, although I have accompanied Indra in many encounters with the demons, I have never been confounded in this way and lost control of the horses. It seems that this battle has been ordained by the Creator himself, who now desires the destruction of the universe. Surely, no other outcome is possible from such a terrible fight." I stood silent for some moments in order to gain control over my mind. Then I replied, "Be at ease, chariot driver. See now the prowess of my arms and my weapons. I shall counter these illusions with my Gandiva bow." I then invoked astras capable of stupefying the enemy, and the Danavas' illusions were dispelled. But the Danavas again appeared before me. Without delay, they produced more illusions that stunned my mind and senses. At one moment, the earth seemed covered by darkness. Then it seemed to be submerged in water. Then it disappeared completely, so that my chariot appeared as if suspended in space. I released the Shabdavedi weapon and dispelled that illusion, whereupon Matali again steered the chariot toward the enemy. The demons flew toward me in a rage. I cut them down mercilessly with great volleys of razor-faced arrows. Then they vanished again, continuing to fight invisibly. By using celestial weapons capable of seeking them out, I continued to slay the demons. The Nivata Kavachas then gave up their weapons and retreated into their city. At once everything became visible. I saw the ground covered with their mangled bodies, their weapons, ornaments, armor, and limbs. It was impossible for the horses even to step. Matali urged them upward, and the chariot sprang into the sky. Seeing my foes retreat, I relaxed. But then, the next moment, the demons invisibly attacked me again. A thick shower of mountain cliffs rained down upon me. From beneath me, I felt the Danavas grasping hold of the horses' legs and pulling them down. So many rocks were falling that it seemed as if my chariot was in a cave. Again, I was gripped with fear. Seeing this, Matali said, O Arjuna, take heart. Use Indra's thunderbolt weapon, for it will destroy these rocks. Then I chanted the mantras to invoke Indra's weapon while placing iron darts on my Gandiva. Charged with the power of Indra's Vajra weapon, the darts sped toward the crags and smashed them to powder. The darts also dispelled the demons' illusions and struck them down from the sky. They fell screaming on all sides like huge meteors dropping from the heavens. Many of them fled and entered the bowels of the earth, while others vanished into the sky. Realizing that the demons had been defeated, I told Matali to drive the chariot into the city. He gazed about the battlefield in amazement and said, I have never witnessed such prowess, not even from the demigods. These demons have until now been impossible to conquer, even by the combined efforts of the gods. Matali drove the chariot toward the city gates while I reflected on the battle. Although hundreds of thousands of Danavas, each like a mountain, lay dead, neither Matali nor myself had been injured. This was simply wonderful. Without doubt, it was Krishna's potency alone which had protected us and enabled me to defeat the mighty foes. When we entered the Danava city and saw thousands of wailing women, they fell back in fear as we passed, terrified by the chariot's thunderous rattle. The clash of their jewels and ornaments as they fled resembled the sound of hail falling upon a mountain. I saw the ladies quickly disappear into their golden palaces, which were bedecked with countless gems. Astonished to see the city's opulence, I then said to Matali, This place appears superior to Amaravati. How is it that the demigods do not reside here? Matali replied that the city had once been Indra's residence, but the demons had gained possession of it after pleasing Lord Brahma through their asceticism. Lord Brahma had given them boons which rendered them invincible to the demigods. Indra had then gone to Lord Shiva and asked his assistance, whereupon Lord Shiva replied, You shall regain this city in the future when you assume a different body. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.